You guys can be seated, thank you. So how many of you are glad to be in church this morning? That's a lot better response than the last couple weeks, so we're awesome job. It's good to be in church, amen? Well, we've been in this series, Flourish, and this is just a word that the Lord's highlighted in me, and I had been kind of studying on, we had been talking on. And so the last couple weeks, I would encourage you, if you haven't been here, even if you have been here, go back on the app and listen to these messages, because I believe this is a timely word for us as a body and for what the Lord's wanting to bring into our lives, what he's wanting to do in us and through us as a church. And so it's important, if you miss a message or if you miss a week, to catch up, right? It's even better to be here live, but if you miss, it's good to catch up and get in and hear the word that the Lord is speaking for this time and this season, amen? And so the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the importance of flourishing and how God's plan and God's desire is for us to flourish, not to just stay the same, right? We talked about if your kid was a baby, a one-year-old, and you went to the doctor a year later, and he or she has not grown, that would be a problem. We'd say, hey, something's wrong. Well, the same is true with our spiritual lives. If we aren't growing, then something is wrong. Then we have to address ourselves and say, okay, go before the Lord. Lord, what's going on? Why am I not growing? Why am I not changing? And you know what? He's faithful to show us the areas that need adjustment. But you know, one of the main ways that we grow after we're born again is getting planted in the house, the local church. You're a part of the big body of Christ, but we know that it's important to be hooked into the local church that God has placed you in, because there you will grow and you will flourish. How many of you want to grow and flourish in every area of your life? Amen. Well, God provides the local house for you as an avenue for you to grow and flourish. And I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in my family. I've given testimony of that. But as we get planted in the house of God, what happens? We begin to grow. We begin to have to walk in love with one another. We begin to build relationships. All kinds of things happen when we're planted in the house of God and when we're fully planted, right? What did we talk about last week? You got to, Pastor Nate said this on the front row, but you got to take off that container. Some of you are just stuck in the little pepper plant container, and it's great. You're a plant and you're ready to grow, but you know what? It would be silly for me to take that pepper plant to my garden and just set it on top of the soil and hope that it grows and produces, and then come August wonder why my pepper plant's not doing good. Because what happens with that container? We had a few that we set out, actually, pepper plants that we hadn't planted yet. I just didn't have time, and when I got home from the store, I brought them out to our garden boxes, set them on top, and then I came out a few days later, and I realized, ooh, they were blown over, and they were really wilty. And guess what? Even though it had rained, they were still wilty. You want to know why? They didn't receive the nourishment and the nutrient that God provided. God provides the rain, right? They didn't receive that because wind came or a storm came. Something happened and blew those pepper plants over. And so guess what? The very nourishment that came to the rest of the plants in that box, they weren't wilty. Actually, they had flowers and they looked very healthy. But this plant, I could tell something's wrong. So guess what I did? I watered it and I put it in the soil in my box. And guess what? Now it's doing just as good as the other ones. You know, that's the goodness of God, that he wants to see you planted and growing and flourishing. And when others around you are growing and flourishing and you're looking at yourself and you're saying, I'm not. The key may be you need to get more planted in the house of God. So that when winds come and storms come and situations come, you're not blown over and you're not missing the nutrients and the very things that God has provided for you to grow. And many times we look at the Lord and say, God, why? God, why? And he's saying, take the step. Take the initiative, right? So we learned all about in these last 2 weeks the importance of being planted and sticking with and not letting anything take you out. Don't let offense, don't let strife, don't let the devil lie to you. Whatever excuse has been there, throw it out the window and say, you know what, it's time for me to get planted. It's time for me to flourish. It's time for me to grow. Amen? Okay, so the second way that God provides for us, other than being planted in the house of God, one of the other major ways that he gives us and he provides us with is relationships. So today we're going to talk about supernatural relationships. Say it with me. Supernatural relationships. Did you know God wants you to have supernatural relationships? God desires for you to have people in your life that you can grow with, that you can encourage, that can encourage you. And you know, one of the main ways that God does that is through the local body that you're connected to.
That's right.
How many of you would say, Beyond Church is your home, you're planted, you're here, and the relationships in this church have blessed you in some way? Raise your hand. Everyone look around. Keep your hands up. Those of you who had it, look around, look behind you, look to the right, look to the left. What do we see? A lot. And you know what? Everyone who raised their hand, it probably wasn't just one person that's blessed you in some way, right? I came in today, and the worship team was going on, and guess what? Through them using their gift and their supply, I was blessed. I was able to come in, and it created an atmosphere for what? For me to come before God and to worship him and to thank him, to get my heart prepared to minister to you today. The people who are back watching kids right now, imparting into them, giving them the word so that you can be in here, that's a supernatural relationship. Thank you, Lord, for the people that do that. And what does it do? It allows you to come in here and receive on your level, but then know your kids are getting stuff on their level. So what do we see? God is all about relationships. If you're a loner, you're out of God's will. If you're a loner, you're out of God's will. Why? Did you know even Jesus had to have relationships? Jesus, the Son of God who came down, who could have said, I am the Son of God. Bow down and worship me. I'm so holy that I can't commune with you, but you're just going to receive from me. He could have done that. Did you know that? But you know what he saw? I have something to give to you, but you have something to give to me. Did you know that? The people that you're in relationship with, you have something to give to them, but they have something to give to you. It's called a supply. What did we talk about 2 weeks ago in depth? The redwood trees, right? These big, magnificent, I can't wait to go see them someday, take our boys to see it. But these big, huge, magnificent trees, and you'd think their roots would be super deep, super big for the size that they are. But we saw what? They're not. But you know what they are? Intertwined. Those roots grab onto the roots of the redwood tree next to them, and they intertwine and they actually share nutrients. So you think if this redwood tree just grew up by itself, no other redwood trees around, it would blow over. Even as big and magnificent as it is, it would blow over. Why? Because the strength comes from being intertwined with the other redwoods. The nutrients that they need to grow comes from being intertwined with the other redwoods. Well, guess what? You, as a born-again believer, need people that you're intertwined with that help build you up. I am so thankful for relationships that I have that build me up, that strengthen me, that I have people that I can text something to and say, man, look what the Lord's been speaking to me. Isn't this good? And you know what they do? They don't just go, oh, yeah, that's cool. But you know what? They're like, man, yeah. And then they're texting back a verse and they're saying what the Lord's been speaking to them on. What is that? That's a mutual strengthening. You know, you have to have people. What I like to call them is faith buddies. You have to have faith buddies. Yes, men. 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 You have to have faith. I won't call them buddies because that sounds girlish. You have to have faith. Friends, guys, pals, whatever. Whatever word you want to throw in. Bros. Guy bros. You got to have faith, guy bros. That sounds better. Okay, no, it doesn't. They're saying no, no, no. Okay, whatever word you want to throw in. You got to have that. But you know what society says? Especially to men? You're tough. You got to be tough. You got to be independent. You don't share your feelings. You don't talk about stuff. Well, guess what? Jesus had 12 disciples, guys. Jesus was a man, and he surrounded himself with other men, and he had to have that to fulfill his call. And one thing, I'll share a testimony, because I think this is so cool, and I don't even know if I'm like giving it away that women are listening, or I'm a wife that's listening, but Pastor Nate is on one of the Beyond Church softball teams, and they have Marco Polo. Has anyone ever heard of Marco Polo, the app? Okay, if you haven't, write it down, Marco Polo, okay? Here's why. Because this is a great way, just like text messaging, you can text, you know, you text message people, but you know, how many of you know sometimes through text or email, you can take something that someone says and it's not even what they meant? Because for some of us, we're very extravagant texters like me, meaning I add exclamation points, I use those emojis, I'm like all about. So if someone just responds to me with a sentence and a period, I'm like, ooh, are they mad? Do they, how, what was the tone in how they said that? But you know what? For some people, it's not that they're meaning it that way, they're just short and to the point. Right? So we can misread. But the awesome thing about Marco Polo is you can get on and it's a face. So you can see that they're smiling when they're saying it to you. And it's been awesome for us because we've been able to connect with family that's far away, like my mom and dad, they're overseas. And so usually they're talking to us in the middle of the night or sometimes during the middle of the day, and then we're messaging them and they won't get it till the next morning because of the time difference. But it's awesome to see it. And you can develop relationships. So anyway, and you can check it whenever you want. So it's awesome too. So it doesn't have to be distracting if you don't let it. Said all that to say, Pastor Nate is on one of the Beyond Church teams, and they started the Marco Polo with the guys. And a lot of times when we're driving or just at the house, he has it on. But you know what is so cool to me? This is a group of guys, I don't know how many, like what, 16, 17, something like that. And they're all on there, and it's guys encouraging each other. They're giving scriptures. This morning, there was Marco Polo's. A guy was saying, man, guys, I'm headed to corporate prayer, pre-service prayer this morning. Hope to see you there. Another guy jumps on. Man, me too. So excited. They're talking about what they're getting from their small groups. They're talking about the word. They're talking about life. They're making jokes. They're, guys, this is what it's about. And it blesses me to see this is guys. And I even told him, I'm like, oh, it's like a bunch of girls. I didn't realize guys talk this much. All through the day. But you know what it shows me? Guys need that. Men, you need that. Lest you think women are just the ones who need to communicate and have strong relationships and have coffee dates. You need guy get-togethers. I'm not going to call it a date. That sounds weird. It doesn't sound weird for girl dates, but it sounds weird for guy dates. Okay. But you need avenues and you need people like that can build you up. and strengthen you. And you know what we've seen? There's guys in this thread that have been blessed. They've like popped out of their shell. Like there's certain people I'm like, I did not even know they were this hilarious. They are so funny. And you know what? They come into church and now I see them. They're talking with people. They're connecting with the other guys because now they have a face. They know people. They're getting, yeah, they spent a whole day just trying to give each other nicknames so that they could yell them out on the field. I'm like, y'all are hilarious. Yeah, one of them's Big Mama. I don't know. Birdman, I don't know. There's all kinds of them. Big Bird, Birdman, something like that. Anyways, this is what we need. We need relationships. We need each other. Look to the person to the right of you and say, I need you. Now look behind you and say, I need you. So you listen to all that. So we need each other. We need each other. And you know what? You can branch out. Because if we see that Jesus had to have relationships, and you know what? Those relationships, they didn't even come to him. Did you know that? They didn't just come and say, Jesus, wow, I'd like to be one of your disciples. Can I be your friend? They didn't do that. You know what he did? He went and found them. He went and found his friends. He called them out. He called them up. So sometimes, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but in order to get friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Sometimes we're wondering why we don't have friends, and it's a simple fact of what we tell our kids, but sometimes as adults, we don't model and we don't live by. If you want friends, what do we tell our kids? Honey, if you want to make friends at school, then you need to show yourself friendly. Guess what, guys? If we want friends, we have to go back and say, we need to be friendly. Show ourselves friendly. And you know what? We can get into a pity party, and we can go pout and say, so-and-so has all these friends. They have all these relationships. Why don't I have it? And when was the last time you reached out? The enemy gets us duped into believing lies that no one likes us, no one cares about us, no one's asked me to go to their house, no one's asked me to come over for dinner, so-and-so hasn't asked me in like 3 months. Have you asked them? We're blaming other people for our lack of relationships. And we're putting the blame on them and high expectations on them. And then guess what? Nothing on us. So I would ask you, relationships that you've had in the past or that God's brought across your path, maybe even recently, okay? But these are ones that you say, you know what? Man, this is a relationship that God's brought to me. And I believe everyone in here has relationships like that. Or maybe you don't, but God's shown you someone like, you're just like, man, I would really like to get to know them. Guess what you do? Get to know them. Guess how you get to know them? You make the invite. You make the investment. Right? Sometimes we blame God and it's like, God, God, God. And he's going, hey, take a step of faith and branch out. Go say hi to them. Go at, you know, ask a few couples over for dinner. Show yourself friendly. And you know what? For some of us, this comes easier than others. But guess what? All of us have the grace on our lives as a part of the body of Christ to have strong, healthy, flourishing relationships. So throw your personality out the window. Throw the excuse of I'm an introvert and it's just not in my personality. No. Guess what? You're a part of the body of Christ, so guess what that makes you? A people person. Did you know that? What is the body of Christ made up of? People. parts, functions. Everyone does different stuff, but it's people. So guess what that means? When you're called, you accept Jesus, you're called into the body of Christ, you come into the body of Christ, guess what that makes you? A people person. Say it. I am a people person. And you may think, Pastor Heaven, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And guess what you have to start doing? You have to start aligning your words and your thought life with what he says. Quit limiting yourself and relationships that God wants you to have, either new ones or strengthen current ones or ones future down the road. Quit limiting yourself and letting the enemy limit you by saying, I don't have the right personality to make friends or to have good friends. And then guess what he does? He takes it a step further. Not only do you have a stinky personality, but so-and-so has an amazing personality that really inhibits friendships and really inhibits people to like them. No, I don't believe that. You want to know why? The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Why was Jesus about relationships? Because he cared for people. Guys, this life, it's so easy. This is just something the Lord's been talking to us about. Valuing and treasuring and honoring. Honoring the relationships that God's brought into your life. Well, what does honor mean? Putting them first. So guess what this means? It's going to take time. It takes your time to develop relationships. And you know what society says? You know everybody because you have 1,000 friends on Facebook. You have deep relationships because you're a social media guru. Or everyone knows about your life. We think we know people because of what we see on social media. Guys, that is such a shallow. Or because we text somebody. Did you know God's way of seeing relationships goes farther than what we see on social media? Farther than texting once a month? It takes time with people. And you know what? Time to say, you know what? I value you. I value Mona. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invest time. Now, does it have to look like hours upon hours? No, but this is where you just focus, ask the Lord. Focus on 1 to 2 people that he shows you to start beginning to develop that relationship with. Honor and treasure that relationship. Because you know what? There's a supply that they need, but there's a supply that you need. And if you don't have any relationships, what happens when you hit a rough time? If you aren't planted in God's house and you have no relationships and you hit a rough time, what happens? You fight it yourself. But you're planted in God's house, you're serving, you're growing, you have relationships inside this place. Then guess what that means? You hit a rough time. And you have people who got your back. You're standing in faith. They're standing with you. We have to have people like this. This is God's design. His design is not that we just go through life alone, working our 9 to 5, being so busy. Society has us so busy that we're not taking time. And I said taking time, making time for things that are valuable. You know, being a part of God's house and making time for that is valuable. Making time for people is valuable. You have time for people. Jesus, the Son of God, came down to earth and he had time for people. His life was about people. Our lives aren't to be about our jobs and running around. Our job in life is to be about people. Reaching those people, but having people in here, people that you can do life with. We have to have that. And this is something we saw, like, I have people like that, but it's like the Lord's been showing me, you got to elevate this. And I'm talking to you about this because he's been talking to us about this. We have to value and treasure the relationships that God has brought into our lives. Honor it, because you know what? You're not honoring people necessarily, you're honoring him. And I can't tell you how many times in my own life the relationships that God's brought to me have brought so much to my life. In times that I'm going through things or just an encouragement, I had some of my sister-in-law, just a month ago probably, sent a verse, had no idea. I had not shared anything with her. Shared a verse with me. She said, hey, I was sitting in class at Rhema today, and she said, I they were talking about this verse, and I felt really strongly like I was supposed to share it with you. And she laid it out and then added just a few things that the Lord spoke to her about. Totally read my mail. Just had talked to the Lord specifically about what she said. And you know what it did? It brought confirmation and it brought answers to me. All because she was willing to take the time to invest into me. And to say, hey, this is something the Lord showed me, and I wanted to share it with you. We have to have people like that, but you have to be somebody like that. You have enough time to tell someone thank you. Everyone in here, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess how God brought that about? A magic thing came out of the sky and said, it's time for you to get saved. Turn your life, turn or burn. No, how many of you, through some kind of relationship or a person, came to know the Lord? Raise your hand. Okay, guys, this is what it's all about. God uses people. It's not a system. When we try to systemize relationships and put the love of God into a system, it doesn't work. But when we say the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart, and Lord, I know you've planted me in this house. I know that in order for me to flourish, I have to have relationships. So I thank you that you bring me the right people at the right time. You show me the people in my life that need to be a supply to me and that I need to be a supply to them. You bring these people across my path. You help show me ways that I can develop and grow this relationship. Guess what he'll do? He'll show you. He'll give you opportunities. But you know what it's going to take? A step of faith on your part. And one of the major ways that the enemy uses to keep people from developing relationships is through fear. And I'm going to scroll down to this. Through fear. Fear. Let me see where it is here. I know, I have a lot of notes. Okay. So, one of the three of the ways that he comes is like this. Number one, we talked about this. You're not a people person. This is one of the ways he comes. Or we could say this, your personality. He comes and he undermines the gift that you are. Just like what Pastor Nate talked about a few weeks ago, he comes as a slanderer. So guess what he's saying? You're not enough. You're not friendly enough. You're not this, you're not that. But you guess what you need to remind them? Nope. I'm a child of God. Who are you? Who are you? Who he says you are? Slandering your personality? Maybe you just need to remind them who you are. Whose you are. I'm a child of God. I have the love of God shed abroad on the inside of my heart. I am bold as a lion. I can do all he's called me to do. But the moment we begin to take the thoughts and just let them, like Pastor Nate said, roll on through. Day after day, we just keep letting them go on through our head. I'm not good enough. I don't have the right personality. So-and-so has this. Guess what it does? It's ultimately fear. It's fear. And guess what it does? Fear, like we talked about last week, paralyzes you. It shuts you down. So you know what you think? I'm not good enough. I don't have the right personality. I don't have this. I don't have that. I was raised this way. Whatever it might be. My parents, you know, we didn't grow up in a home that had good relationships. I didn't have good relationships. Whatever it is, he's going to bring it up. And he's going to do whatever he can to undermine that relationship. But how do we combat it? With the word. Get the word in your mouth. What does the word say about you? Things that you see that you battle, that he brings, get scriptures on it. Get them out in front of you and get the word in your mouth. So that, guess what? When he comes, you're armed and ready. Right? So he comes that way. Here's the other way he comes. Your past. Well, I tried to develop relationships with this person, you know, several years ago, and it just blew up. And I reached out to so-and-so, and they, you know, kind of for a little bit, but that relationship just kind of fell off. Or, man, whatever it might be, past bad relationships. Every time God's pointing you toward a good relationship, the enemy's trying to point you toward your last bad relationship. But guess what we do with him? Kick him out. Resist him. Tell him to go. And you know why he's doing that? Because he knows what happens when people have solid, good relationships. And he wants to keep everything he can. He wants to do everything he can to minimize those and to keep them from flourishing. Your marriage, your relationship with your family and your in-laws and your sister-in-laws and brother-in-laws. Co-workers, bosses, you name what relationship, but he wants to get in. And he's going to try to weasel his way in any way that he can. But what does the word say? We're not ignorant of his devices. So what does that mean? That means we can know, spiritually we can see and know when he's trying to come in. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? And you know what? Is the main way that we keep that out is through our love walk. Choosing to remain in love at all times. But don't let him bring up your past. In your relationships, whether it's marriages, whether it's family, whether it's whatever it is, if he can bring up your past, he's going to paralyze you from moving forward with that relationship. You've been hurt in the past. People didn't talk to you in the past. It's like a dog. We have a dog that we rescued off the road, and the boys sometimes will be playing and go like that, and she'll kind of cower. Well, what does that tell me? That tells me that her prior owners who had her, when they didn't like something, beat her. So guess what? Until Sophie, that's her name, gets used to us and knows us and trusts us, every time the kids do this, she's gonna do this. Why? Because don't walk around relationships like this. Ask God to help you heal from that. Because you know what? We shouldn't be guarded like this around everybody we're going around. But what is it? Views of the past that have kept us in a state. And you know what? The enemy's like, great. They're not doing anything because they're afraid of everyone's around them going to hurt them. Guess what? Everyone around you isn't going to hurt you. God places people in your life for a purpose and a reason, to be a blessing to you, not to hurt you. So if you've had hurt in the past, get rid of it. What is that? That's under the blood. Thank you, Lord. That's under the blood. I don't operate from fear of the past. I don't operate from hurt relationships of the past. I thank you that I have flourishing relationships. In every area, don't let the past hold you back from developing the relationships that God wants you to have. Amen? Okay. Now I'm going to scroll back up. Let's look at Romans 16. And we're going to talk about Paul for a minute. So we talked about Jesus, how he had to have relationships. And we're going to look at the life of Paul. Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul, who was a busy little guy, traveling, what, all over the place. And you could say, you know what, Paul, man, he was busy. He had journeys he was doing. He was traveling all over Asia, all over the place. But you know what Paul did? The more I've been looking at him and studying him, he had relationships. He wasn't so about God's plan and God's call for his life that he negated the relationships that God brought to him. So we're going to look at this, and this is going to sound funny, but I want it. I want 30 volunteers. So raise your hand. You're not going to have to do anything besides stand up here, if that helps you. So just come up, and then we'll count until we get 30. Up on stage. How many do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Five more. Spread down on the steps so you're single file. Can you guys do that? Like straight in a row down those steps if you have to. Yeah, shoulder to shoulder. Is that 30? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, they're moving around. Spread out, spread out, spread out. You got to see each other. We got to see everybody. Elizabeth, Wade, scoot up so we can see your face. There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Everyone clap. Yay. Okay. So we're going to read about Paul, okay? And Paul, in Romans 16, 1 through 27, this whole chapter is dedicated to the people that were in relationship with Paul. Is this not interesting? Paul took a whole chapter, and this is just one of the times. There's numerous times where he talks about people that he was in relationship with. So, but in this chapter, there's 30 people that Paul mentions that were a supply to him. Guys, if Paul had 30 people that he mentioned that were a supply to him, we need to have people. You need to have people, maybe not 30, but you need to have people in your life that you can say, man, these people, I thank the Lord for them. You wake up and you have people that you're thanking the Lord for. You're thanking the Lord for these people that he's put you in relationship with, right? So we're going to read this. So you all represent. So I'll start over here. But if it's a guy name and you're a girl or vice versa, we'll just throw that out the window, okay? Just pretend. Okay, so it says, be sure to welcome our friend Phoebe. Oh, sorry. Oh, so this is Phoebe, okay? In the way of the master, with all the generous hospitality we Christians are famous for, I heartily endorse both her and her work. She's a key representative of the church at, we'll just say C, because I can't say that name. So what did he say? He took time to value this relationship. To say what? You've been generous in hospitality. This church is awesome. You've been a great part of that. So what do we see about Phoebe? Not only was she a supply to Paul, but she was hooked into her local church. Right? Okay. Help her out whenever she asks. She deserves anything you can do for her. She's helped many a person, including me. So what do we see there? She helped Paul, but Paul also helped her. There was a relationship there, right? Okay. Say hello to Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. Hey, that worked out perfect, right? Priscilla and Aquila, who have worked hand in hand with me in serving Jesus. So what did he do? Man, these two people, they've worked at serving Jesus. What did he say? With me. Guys, it's a work together. Not individually. It's a work together. So they've served with me, serving Jesus. Okay, next verse. They once put their lives on the line for me, and I'm not the only one grateful to them. All the non-Jewish gatherings of believers also owe them plenty. So what do we see? Not only is he taking time to thank them, but he's sharing a little glimpse into why he's thankful for them, why he's writing about them. You know, sometimes it's good for you to say thank you to the people that you're in relationship with, but also to say thank you to the people you're in relationship with other people around. To let them know the supply of the Spirit that they've been to you. Right? Not in a bragging, prideful way, but in an honoring way. Man, this person has done this for me. Right? So that's what he's doing. Next verse. To say nothing of the church that meets in their house. Hello to my dear friend, we'll just say E. Kylie, you're E. My dear friend E. Kylie, was the very first follower of Jesus in the province of Asia. So what did he say? Man, this guy was the first follower in the province of Asia. How cool is it that Paul, out of all the people he reached, remembered the name and the person of the first convert in Asia? That's amazing. Guess what that tells me? It wasn't just counting numbers for Paul. He was invested in the relationship. He was about people, right? Okay, hello to Mary. What a worker she's turned out to be. Don't you love that? Guys, he knows these people enough to know awesome things about them. How do you think he knows that Mary was such a good worker? He got a divine word that said, Mary is a divine worker, a good worker. No. When he visited the churches, he saw her in action. He heard about her, how she was using her gift to advance the kingdom of God. Right? She was being faithful with her gift, and Paul found out about it and saw it and knew it. I think that is so awesome. So she turned out to be a great worker. Next verse. Hello to my cousins, Andronicus and Junius. So that's who you guys are, Paul's cousins. We once shared a jail cell. But you know what? I love this because you know what that tells me? This is what it tells me. Paul wasn't pouting in the jail cell. No matter where he went, he made sure he had valuable relationships that he was a supply to and that were a supply to him. He could have pouted and sat in that jail cell. But you know what? He thought, man, God's connecting me with these two people, probably got them born again. And now they're in the household and he's making mention of them. How many of us, when we hit rough times or we don't think stuff goes our way, we just sit and pout? Get your eyes off yourself and get it onto some other people. That's what Paul did. And guess what? It turned out to be a fruitful relationship that brought blessing into his life. So, they once shared a jail cell. They were believers in Christ before I was. Both of them are outstanding leaders. Isn't that awesome? He calls out their leadership. They're outstanding leaders. Okay, next verse. Hello to Amp. We'll just say Amp. My good friend in the family of God. So hello to Amp. Your new name is Ampridge, okay? So my good friend in the family of God. So what's he saying? This is a good friend. He's just a good friend. How many of you need good friends in the family of God? If Paul had good friends in the family of God, you need good friends in the family of God. Amen? So he was just calling out that this guy is a good, steady friend. I love that. Some of you just need to text someone that's been a good, steady friend to you and say thank you. Share your thanks with them. Okay, next person. Hello to Urbanus, our companion in Christ's work, and my good friend, I don't know how to say that, S. We'll just say S. So he's calling these guys out. Hello to Apelles, a tried and true veteran in following Christ. I love that. Tried and true veteran. He called them out. Hello to the family that you're going to represent, Ben, the family of Aristobulus. So what is he saying? Hello to this whole family. Did you guys know your whole family is to speak of God's goodness? Your whole family being plugged into the house of God, serving in God's house, having great thriving relationships. This family must have been thriving enough for Paul to notice. Your family should be thriving so much that people notice. Right? Okay. Hello to my cousin, Herodian. Who's that? Landon. Herodian. That could stick, Landon. I could see that. Herodian. Hello to those who belong from the family of Narcissus. That's you, JR. Narcissus. That could be his softball name. Narcissus. That would be a tongueful. We can't yell that out. That's not a good one. So he's just naming and calling these people, right? Guys, these are people that are in heaven now, and their name is in the Bible. Like, can you imagine this? Their name is in the Bible. Just for being good friends to Paul, for being a support, for being stability to him. And you know what? We would have never known about these people, but Paul thought it so important to mention them. You know, everything in the Word of God is given there for our purpose. We can just skip over chapters like this and not even get the fullness of what God's trying to say to us out of them. But he took a whole chapter to just value the relationships. Okay? So, okay. Hello to Tryphena and Tryphosa. Wow. I wonder if they were twins. Okay. Such diligent women. So, Juan and Chad, such diligent women. Oh, gosh. In serving the master. So, guys, way to go. Or girls, I guess. But look at this, though. I love this word. Because guess what? Diligent women in serving. Guess what this means? When the house of God needed cleaned, who was there? When they were doing something, food needed to be prepped and done, who was there? Tryphena and Tryphosa. You turn around and you just see Tryphena and Tryphosa. Right? What were they? Diligent servers. Guess what? We need diligent servers in the house of God that we're in relationship with. Amen? How many people do you know that have been a diligent servant for you? And Paul's calling this out. So diligent women in serving the master. Hello to Persis, a dear friend and hard worker in Christ. Mona Persis, dear friend and hard worker in Christ. So what? Another dear friend and hard worker. Hello to Rufus, a good choice by the master. That is so going to stick now. Sorry, Philip. This is now Rufus. Rufus, a good choice by the master. Don't you love that? He's calling Rufus out. You're a good choice by the master. So you can name your kid Rufus and call it a Bible name. It's in the Bible. Rufus, that's, I won't say that. It does sound like a dog. I think that was like a gospel bill dog was named Rufus. Okay. So good choice by the master and his mother. She also has been a dear mother to me. So Matt, you're Rufus's mom. She's been a good mother, and I wanted to hit on this point. This was a mother to Paul. So guess what that tells me? There was someone who was older than him who was imparting into Paul. And I'm going to say this. In this church, we need the older generations to impart into the younger generations, women and men. God's not through with you guys. And that's a lie of the enemy to the older generation to say you're done and you're through. No, you're not. She was a mother to Paul. Guess what that tells me? There was a supply of the Spirit from this mother that needed to happen in Paul. And guess what? She has a reward in heaven for all that Paul accomplished because of what she did for him. We need people like that. Maybe it's your own mom and dad that you just need to say thank you to them for what they've imparted into you. But maybe you need to be that mom and dad. Even my age, guys, I'm in my 30s. I can be a mom and a mom. I was going to say a dad. I can't be a dad. I can be a mom to people younger than me. You need that. You need that supply of people older than you, and you need that supply that you're given to people younger than you. This is how God's word works. Okay? So let's up that in this church, a supply. I don't want segregations of generations. That is so from the enemy. To say the young know it all and then to say the old just done away with? No. Every generation, I believe there is a supply of the Spirit, and we're to be intertwined. In our small groups, that's why I love it. There's such an intertwining of the ages, and we have to have that because there has to be that honoring. That's what one of our core values is, honoring that supply. So giving it and then receiving it. Okay, next one. Hello to Eccentricus. Where are we at? Eccentricus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus. Chris is Patrobus, right? Hermas, and to all of their other families. So what do we see? All these people, what's he doing? He's making mention of them. He's saying hi to them. Guess what that means? He was in relationship with them, right? Okay, next one. Hello to I don't know how to say that. We'll just say Philologus. Who did I leave off with? You? Philologus? Okay. Julia. You're Julia. Nereus and his sister. Maybe I didn't count enough people. And Olympus and all the followers of Jesus who live with them. So what do we see? They were all followers of Jesus. Guess what that says? Their whole family, followers of Jesus. How did he know about them? Because they were in relationship with one another. Guys, we gotta have these kind of relationships. And the greatest place to have these relationships is in the house of God. That's why he calls you to a house, because he knows you're not alone. This is how did Paul know all these people? Because of all the churches and the relationships that he was with people, right? He wasn't just a standalone guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and holy am I and look at me. He valued the relationships that God brought to him. Okay, you guys can be seated. Thank you. And can I have, Chris, you could stay up to play if you don't mind. Good job, Rufus, he said. Okay. Let's all stand just for time. Let's all stand here. How many of you are ready to value the relationships that God's brought to you? Amen. In this house, and you know what? You may say, I'm one who's never been good at developing relationships, or I don't really have relationships. But you know what? That's a lie of the enemy to keep you where you're at. God's design and desire is not just for you to come in these doors and out the doors. Guys, there's so much more to life than that. There's so much more to life than just the 9-to-5 and working the job. And we get so busy in our society that we fail to remember the people around us. And as I was studying this message, it was just a reminder to me, and I felt led to say this today. I want all of us, those people, and you may not know them, but that led you to Christ, or you could say it's somebody that was very significant in helping mentor you. Or it may just be a good friend that's helped encourage you in the Lord, or whatever it might be. All of us should have somebody like that. But I want you to have a little homework assignment today. And it may be one person, it may be five people. But I want you not just sending something that just says, hey, thanks, but I want you to really get before the Lord. And I want you to really, from your heart, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a handwritten note in the mail, Sometimes, you know what, handwritten notes in the mail are good. We were so used to them years ago, but now it's all through text and stuff, but it's good to get handwritten notes sometimes. Something personal, something that the Lord shows you. And again, it may be five people, it may be one, whoever it is. But I want you to write or to tell them, thank you. Just like Paul did here, what did he do? He valued the people who helped him in his call. You know, Paul couldn't have done what he did without these people here. That's why he mentioned them. You wouldn't be where you're at today, standing in this room, being in this church, being where you're at with the Lord today, without the people who took time to value you above things that came up in life, above other commitments, above things that were going on that I'm sure plenty of times when they were imparting into you could have thought of a lot of other things to do besides do what they were doing. And you know what thankfulness does? Thankfulness is an act of honor. And it opens the door for God to move. And we need to up thankfulness for one another in this house. Thankfulness for the people that have helped you where you're at, whether they're in this house or at another church or another state or wherever they are. Let's let thankfulness begin to bubble up and have thankfulness for those people. And then you know what? Go a step further. Be what that person was to you. Be that to somebody else. Be that friend. Be that mentor. Develop those relationships. Take a step of faith. Let's close our eyes this morning. Father, we worship you and we thank you. We thank you that we didn't even choose you, but you chose us. You were so about relationships that when you created mankind, you said that it's not good that he's alone. And you created mankind because you yourself didn't want to be alone. You wanted a family. So we thank you, Lord, for the family that you've called us into, this Beyond Church family, and the relationships that are to be established and strengthened, and for those future relationships down the road. And let's just lift our hands. And Lord, we just lift our hands and we say we're open. We're open for you to move in our relationships, in our marriages, on our jobs, with our coworkers, inside this body, with those on the B team that we work with, or those we're serving with, or in our small groups, whatever it may be, Lord, we say, use us. Use us to be a blessing to someone. Use us to help develop and strengthen the relationships that you've brought into our lives. And enemy, we say no to you to come in and bring strife and division. We call our relationships blessed. Blessed and prospering and flourishing in every way. This house flourishing. The relationships and families in this house flourishing. And for some of you, I sense this. You're holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt. And it's time for you to let it go. Let go of what someone did to you. Let go of what someone didn't do for you. And just forgive. Make a choice in your heart to forgive. Why? Because freely you've been forgiven, so you can freely forgive. So let's just lift our hands if you're not. Lord, we just thank you. We give our relationships to you. We give over that hurt, that offense, that frustration, that bitterness, and we give it over to you. And we say, we forgive. We forgive. And we thank you that as we do, those relationships begin to flourish. It's an avenue for you and your blessing to go through our lives. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.